of heights to the depths of the sea.
Endeavor to do those things that are going to add to your treasure in heaven. And what are some of these treasures? I just started listing about 10 things that we could do. And there are many more. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means. But sharing the gospel wherever, whenever, and to whoever will hear. Helping out a neighbor in need. These are things that I can do to build treasure in heaven. Taking time to minister to shut-ins or those in nursing homes. Making hospital visits. Ladies, even volunteering to babysit for a mom who's overwhelmed with a bunch of kids so that she and her husband can go out on a date that they haven't done in 3 years.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Our scripture today says, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth." The ancient Greek literally says, "Do not treasure for yourself treasures on earth." The idea is that earthly treasure is temporary and fading away, but heavenly treasure is secure. Heavenly treasures are everlasting and incorruptible. Treasure in heaven gives enjoyment now in the contentment and sense of well-being that comes from being a giver. But their ultimate enjoyment comes on the other side of eternity. Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching, already in progress.
Like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here am I. Here I am." That's why we fast. To loose bondages. To undo the heavy burdens. To break the yoke of things that we're struggling with. But people were using fasting for all kinds of different things. In the New Testament, we even see fasting. Jesus, after his temptation, after his baptism, he was tempted in the desert for 40 days, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, just like Moses did. In Matthew 17, we see that prayer and fasting was needed to deliver someone from an evil influence or even an evil spirit. Can you imagine that? Somebody's demon-possessed or being influenced by demonic entities, demonic spirits, and to fast and pray for that person. I would say in Monroe County, there's a lot of people that may be possessed by devils, but certainly are being oppressed, many of us in this room even. Let's be honest with one another, and if something's really hitting you that's really significant and you need to be rid of it, why don't you ask a couple people to be praying for you and fast with you for a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it may be, and just intercede for you on your behalf. We look in Luke 2:37, Anna, a prophetess, she served the Lord for many, many years by prayer and fasting. And people in the New Testament fasted as well to receive instruction from the Lord to discern his will. And we see this in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30 and Acts 13:10 and 14 verse 23, just seeking the Lord for direction. And so what are the reasons that we can fast today? Well, when we are seeking to be loosed from a bondage, interceding for someone else to be loosed from a demonic oppression or an evil spirit, when we are seeking the Lord's will and direction for our lives, and you can fast for a day, you can fast for 2 days, maybe 3 days, maybe for an entire week, until the Lord releases you from that or until you have discerned what the Lord's will is. And you can, it's not just food that we can fast from, you know, maybe fasting from the news or social media, fasting from Facebook would be a really good thing. Fasting from Twitter and Instagram and all those other things. Fast from news. Take a break. Really, you really can't handle all the news. I know this because I can't either. It colors me. Can anybody relate? All it does is make me angry. All it's doing is feeding me stuff that just makes me more inflamed. It would be better for me to fast from that. That I could have a clear, instead of being filled with anger, I could be filled with the Spirit of God. I need that, do you? Oh Lord, help us. We're so distracted. Fast from the things that are just taking a hold of you, gripping you, keeping you from the main thing. And that's time with Christ, time in His Word, time for Him letting to change your heart. Do you want that? I really do. And if we do really want it, then we need to make decisions about our life, don't we? And I would encourage you not just to let these things roll off your shoulder this morning. Seriously, take a look at these things in your life. Fast from them because they're not doing you any good. And be honest with yourself. Is this really helping me or is it actually drawing me away from Christ? And if it's drawing you away, the natural thing is, the right thing to do, is to say, Lord, I need to be done with this because it's killing me. It's like a cancer inside of me. I need to rid myself of it. But when we do fast, notice he didn't say if, but when you fast, don't be like the men. Don't do it to be seen of men. And that's what the whole point of that whole thing was. Don't do it to be seen. But notice, let's go back in our text now in verse 19. Jesus goes on now and says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures or literally deposits on earth. Think of that. You get paid, you make a deposit in the bank. Well, God says, well, I've got things I want to give you and things I want to do through your life so that you can make deposits in the bank of heaven. And the interest rate is amazing. You might get, what, 0.5%, 5% maybe in some things. God says, oh, the things I got for you are compounding interest second by second, exponential compounding interest. Your bank account is loaded. And you're going to be rewarded for those things. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Notice where moth and rust destroy, and it all destroys, doesn't it? All those beautiful things that we buy, the house and the boat and the motorcycle and all these things, the chain gets rusty on the motorcycle. Then we got to buy a new chain. We got to fix up the boat, and then there's barnacles growing underneath the boat. Well, not here in the lake, but down in Florida, they have it all. I've seen it, been there. You know, but all these things, you got to tend to them. You got to keep them up. And they possess us. I no longer possess them because I have many material possessions. Now I no longer have them, but they have a grip on me. But everything that we have is subject to decay. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So everything is subject to decay. It's everything's subject. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is in decay. The moment you were born, you started to die. It just takes 80 years to get there. Or maybe more if you're very fortunate. But you can't take it with you. Even though I've seen people who have died and they get buried in their, you know, 1967 Pink Thunderbird, you know. And people have done that. They get buried in their car and they, you know, it's happened. But you can't take it with you. That thing is going to rot in the ground. And your spirit is going somewhere. Hopefully you chose Christ. But what Jesus says here in verses 19 and 20 seems like a straightforward command, but it's one that few people think about this bank account in heaven, this treasure in heaven, and even in the church. Because see, God wants us to be content with the things that we have. Instead of always wanting more. And there's a curse to always wanting more. It never ends. The flesh is never satisfied. Once you get one thing, you want the next thing. Once you obtain this plateau, you got to go to the next plateau because so-and-so is on that plateau and I want to be like them. I want to be more important. I want to have this. I want to have that. They have this. Why can't I? I worked harder than them. I deserve that. And God's going, can you be content with things that you have? And this is something that we can actually learn. And Paul the Apostle learned this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He said this, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everything and in all things I have learned, notice, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But notice what he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe some of you have experienced that. I'm still in the process of learning that. But I am growing more content, and I'm learning that not having many things is a really good thing because I can't maintain it all. Isn't there something awful when you buy something and then it sits in your garage and you use it for a couple times and then years go by and you come back to it and you're like, why didn't I just rent it? Now I got this thing that the oil is coagulated in it and the thing is completely messed up and it's I might as well just toss it now because I can't start the thing. And I forgot to put the, you know, the fuel stabilizer in it, and so, you know, the whole thing is messed up now. Why? Things have us instead of us having things. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Yes, not being so firmly planted on the earth, but rather thinking about our treasures in heaven. For be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God speaking. He'll never leave us. In 1 Timothy, Paul says to him, he says, now godliness, notice, godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice that godliness without the house in the Cayman Islands and all the fancy cars, that is great gain. No, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so few of us experience that. And the person who has found that knows the secret. And I am learning that. I'm not saying that I've learned it, but I'm learning that principle. And it's true. I don't really need a lot of things. I'm really happy with just my Bible, my iPad. Sorry. But I use it for different things. I use it for what I'm doing here. I don't play, you know, Candy Crush or anything like that. I'm content with my family. I'm content with my relationship with God. I'm content with very few things. I don't need a lot of things. This doesn't mean that we can't own nice things or even enjoy the fruit of our labors. We just need to be careful that our possessions don't possess us because God is concerned about our attitude toward money and material possessions. He knows that it can either be a blessing to us or it can be a curse. Have any of you wished, oh, I wish I had $1 million? Well, if you had $1 million given to you and fall out of the sky and land on your lap, you'd probably find within a couple days that you're going to be a mess, a nervous wreck, because now everybody knows you got the million, and all of a sudden, all the relatives that you never saw before come to your door. My dog died, and he needs to be buried in this casket now, and, you know, Aunt Susie's got, you know, this, and she needs this to happen, and she needs a lung and a liver and a kidney, and let's face it, Aunt Susie needs a lot, but, you know, all these needs. And then all of a sudden, you're perplexed. You feel guilty for having this money and hanging on to it. It can become a curse. And then your own lusts are there. Well, I've always wanted this Harley Davidson. I've always wanted this house on the lake. But I feel guilty. And I want that grand piano right in the front as I enter with the glass windows and it's overlooking the bay. I want that grand piano right there. But I can't sit at the piano when I know that other people in my family are struggling. And you see how that can be a mess? The guilt? I'd rather not have it. I'd rather just pray to God that he heals them because I can't heal anybody. It can be a blessing or a curse. What is it for you? The Lord's half-brother, James, said this. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and your silver are cankered, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. That sounds like a good thing. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, they cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury, and you have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. And I believe that's speaking more of an unbeliever, really, but even as believers, we have to be careful how we do this. And again, we can be grasping for riches and material things, but we cannot forget about our treasures in heaven. And I believe that these treasures in heaven referred to rewards or lack of rewards that we will receive at the Bema Seat Judgment immediately after the rapture of the church. We're going to be at the Lamb's Supper, and we're going to receive rewards for things that we have done or not, or lack of rewards. But we're still going to get to heaven. But I think what we do now matters, doesn't it? That's building treasure for heaven and thinking heavenly-minded about things that I do here that affect that treasure pile there. That's what I want to start infusing. I want to start making deposits in that account. That's the more important account. Yes, Paul said, and you've heard me share the scripture, but I'm going to share it again. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, Paul says, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. When we're before the Lord, it's going to be all apparent, and it says that because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Notice that you are not being tested by fire, your works are being tested by fire. And those works that are born and of the Spirit of God, those are the things you're going to be rewarded. But all the things that I thought were good to do that really weren't led by the Spirit, I just felt they were good, those things are going to burn up. I'm not going to be rewarded for those things. But if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. When I get to heaven, I'm hoping that there are things in my account. I'm hoping my bank account is bursting at the seams. Not so I can use it for my own self, but that I can lay it at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, if it wasn't for you, none of this would have happened in my life. And that's the truth. I don't have it in me to do any good thing. In fact, that's the reason I came to Christ, because I realized how decrepit and how sinful I was. It's because of that brought me to Christ. It wasn't because I was a good guy and I just wanted to join a better team. No, I wasn't a good guy, and neither were you. None of us were good. I know you came this morning and you're thinking, I want to hear some good news. Well, you just heard some bad news. Boy, what a feel-good church this is. Can't wait to come back next week and he can tell me how bad I am. Well, I'm bad too, but we got a great God. We got a great and loving Savior who loves you to pieces. He adores you, even with all the mess. Don't be discouraged. He loves you, even amidst the trials and the tribulations, the total mess that your life is right now. He adores you, and he paid the price to secure that relationship, regardless of your mess. Will you give your mess? Will you fast even? Will you pray to him and ask him for help and for vision and direction? If it's really important to you, you're going to fast. Is it really important? Endeavor to do those things that are going to add to your treasure in heaven. And what are some of these treasures? I just started listing about 10 things that we could do. And there are many more. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means. But sharing the gospel wherever, whenever, and to whoever will hear. Helping out a neighbor in need. These are things that I can do to build treasure in heaven. Taking time to minister to shut-ins or those in nursing homes. Making hospital visits. Ladies, even volunteering to babysit for a mom who's overwhelmed with a bunch of kids so that she and her husband can go out on a date that they haven't done in 3 years. Or coming alongside a young person who doesn't have a parent. Helping someone out financially when they suddenly have an emergency. Being good examples to all, especially those in our own household. Guys, doing the dishes for your wife. When you see the pile in the sink, do you just wait and let her do it, or do you do it? Do it regularly when you can. Help fold the laundry when your wife's back is hurting. Pick up your clothes on the floor, you slob, and put them in the clothes bin. little things. Why? Because you care. Because you love her. Little things like this are tokens of love, and God will reward you for those attitudes. And these are just some. Investing in your kids, your grandkids, with time. Yes, with your time. Yes, you could go golfing, but your grandson has a baseball game today. And yes, you're working on your swing and you've almost got it perfected, but he's only going to go through that once. Go to the game. He needs help. He needs your wisdom. And when he's working a full-time job trying to save money to buy a car, are you willing to kick in a few $100 to help them? Or maybe you have another car in the garage that you don't need anymore that's only got 3,000 miles on it. You've only taken it to bingo every Friday. And so maybe the best thing to do is just to give it to them. Get out the title and sign it over and say, "Happy birthday, grandson." Help them out. They need it. Those kinds of things, treasure in heaven. And many, many other things. Notice that these treasures are not about self at all, and rather they are other-centered, aren't they? They're not about me, they're not about you. They are always serving, doing something other, for someone else, doing something, it's other-centered. It's nothing to do with me at all. God loves it when we do stuff like that. And people love it too, and it encourages their faith. And don't we help each other when that happens? Verse 21, notice Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And life has a way of exposing our true affections, doesn't it? It really does. And it's especially embarrassing if your affections or what you claim to be doing is exposed in public or in a public way. And if you spend time with somebody long enough, you'll come to know what is near and dear to them. For some, it's their walk with Jesus, and that hopefully is the first thing that is near and dear to them, is their walk with the Lord. But to others, it's only their family and their grandkids. For some, it's their 401k, their house at Grand Cayman, and their car collection. But circumstances have an interesting way of exposing our affections. Like the guy who takes his wife out to dinner, and as they're approaching this fancy Italian sports car, there's a guy breaking into the car, and he's smashing the window, and another criminal is coming to harm the man's wife. And what does the guy do? He runs over to the car and tries to keep the thief from breaking into his car. Meanwhile, his wife is getting harmed by some criminal. He exposed really where his treasure is. It's not in his wife. It's in that prized possession. It's in that gold calf that he's been putting money into. He drove her in that car to bring her to the dinner. But he proved that it's more valuable than she is. Where's your treasure? Be careful that our treasure is not in an idol. That it's not, it doesn't become an idol. In Colossians, it tells us that covetousness is idolatry. So where's my treasure? Jesus goes on in verse 22 and he says, "The lamp of the body is the eye, and if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." This word "good" means a whole or clear or sound, or it could also mean generous. In verse 19 through 21, what does it really speak of? It speaks of a heavenly attitude, doesn't it? And so does this right here. If your eyes are fixed on heaven and on things that are good, your whole body will be full of light.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.